Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hey, this is hey everybody, welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Mad Daz. My name is VJ Smith and this is Gil Baggett. Gil, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really feeling fantastic.
Well, we got folks that's gonna be calling in, we got folks gonna be checking in, and we just want you to check in with Blog Talk Radio and tell us a little bit about things that went on this Saturday.
Oh, this Saturday. I mean, we had such a beautiful occasion to get together. I mean, we're brilliant black revolutionary minds and revolutionary thinkers, people who are wakers and shakers. I mean, they all got together in one room, in one medium, and they all got on one accord. We had from the Hip Hop Nation what's the brother's name, Shorty?
Short Body.
We had the Nation of Islam. We had Pastor McAfee. We had Spike Moss. We had Minister KG. We had a guest speaker, Gator Bradley from Chicago, that spoke so eloquently about this gang situation and this violence that we've been having in our community. And a lot of people came in with, guarded expectations as to what they thought the program was going to be. But I think all of them were pleasantly surprised because we had people from the senior citizen inspector. We had people from other agencies that came out to express their concerns about the hostilities and the aggressiveness taken out against people in our communities, like those two women that were attacked on the bus stop. We had senior citizens that came and expressed their concern about being attacked as they're going to the grocery market and how they are afraid of coming out on their porches and coming out in their neighborhoods and stuff for various events due to because they was afraid of the youth in the neighborhood. So I think Gator later made a profound statement when he said these things were no longer going to be tolerated. And these is the people that we need to say these type of things because these are the impressionable kids that are leaning to these guys because these are social icons in their circle. You know, they look up to Gator. And Gator stood up, and he made some responsible, intelligent demands on the leadership of these kids. And I think he was well received.
So you believe he was well received, and that's good because we need somebody and everybody. Can't just be one organization. All organizations need to get on the same page. How many people showed up?
We had about close to 200 people.
Oh, that's great. That's great for a movement like that. And big ups to KG, Minister KG, for pulling that all together, making it happen. And I'm glad that Reverend McAfee and Spike Moss, our local leaders, were able to come together also to make that happen. It was really great. I want to thank also some of the guys in the background, John Turnipseed and Jack Strotter, that just helped with facilities and were able to help out. I appreciate that. And thank you, Gil, for being able to give your message.
My message was that, we have to lay up here and not focus so much on what the kids are doing, but on what the kids are seeing us do. Because we are the role models in our communities. We are the elders in our community. So we have to have a reflective imagery that we're putting out there that those kids can see that we're just not talking about this. We're being about this. You know, that's why I feel so good about being a Mad Dad because of our relationship with the community. Now, we have a lot of people, when you're always trying to do something good, when you're striving to do something that's going to be beneficial for the larger part of the populace in any community, You're going to always have that negativity. You're going to have that negative voice that's going to be hollering and complaining, but they're not going to let him be able to to do anything, because you got more people on the positive side that's going to lay up here and stomp out that negative element. But you got to lay up here and respect that negative element. So my message to the people was that we got to put our differences aside, because our differences are so small. And I'm talking about in the nonprofit community. You know, we have various organizations that we're all working for the same goal. I think you agree with me right there on BJ, is that we're all working for the same goal, and that is to uplift the morale, the spirituality, the education, and the direction in which our community is going.
Well, absolutely, I agree with that. And, you know, the only way we can do that is by pulling each other together and unifying. I'm finding out something all over the country as I travel all over. I'm finding out that we have just folks that are haters, and they're designed to do that, and folks that just don't want to collaborate. But you have to find those who really believe in you and want to work with you, and you have to begin to work with those, because otherwise you waste time.
Yeah, you waste time, you know. But the Islamic community, they came out, and they were so visibly, you know, in control of the situation there, you know. And they was visibly in control on the silent down low. You know, that silent strength, you know.
Right.
I really appreciate. I want to give them big ups to the Nation of Islam for coming and being a part of this this event and make it as successful as it was. And the Imam, the brother, he spoke eloquently about they're no longer being tolerant of violent acts being committed in our community.
And we can't allow for it. And our elders, you know, speaking about that, I was just talking to, and you listen to Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads and myself, Gil Baggett, as my co-host, and I'm your host. Our calling number is 347-215-9262. That's 347-215-9262. And, you know, we will just, if you decide you just want to listen, that's fine. If you want to call in, it tells you to push a button, and you'll be able to call in and talk about the issues that you feel that are important to you. I want to move right into Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome by Dr. Joyce DeGray. She's a PhD, and I've been reading this book and finding out some really wonderful things. And here's what she says: in the grand scheme of things, Ford's actions might seem relatively inconsequential, except to those who were needlessly burned or killed in one of their cars. When material gain becomes the god before which all must be sacrificed, even one's humanity, all manners of crime and pursuit justifications become possible. And when crimes become heinous enough, as in wars of aggression, genocide, enslavement, the perpetrators have little choice but to dehumanize their victims. So my question is to you, is that are we saying about humanization that our crimes don't mean anything anymore because of the fact that our elders, our seniors have no value? That can't be true. Our elders and our seniors have value, and we cannot dehumanize them for the sake of the $20 that comes out of their purse, or for the sake of stealing their car because you need to get from the north side to the south side. All the things that we do in terms of crime and violence dehumanize the victims, which are our grandmothers, our aunties. We pretend like they're not even human. When we talk to the young gang members, they don't even look at it like that. They look at it like it's not a human thing. That's part of that black slave syndrome, is that when we look at individuals.
VJ, I mean, you know, that's why, you know, they say spirit speaks to spirit, and that means truth speaks to truth. And what you just read is what they emphasize and what they, I mean, was so adamantly advocating at the meeting. Pastor McAfee was so animated in his passion to make people understand the dehumanization of victimizing people in our community, that they have been victimized by all through the educational system, victimized through the employment system, victimized, you know, just through the law enforcement system. And now here it is that they're being victimized by our own children. And that what you were just talking about, the dehumanization, is what the Nation of Islam was talking about. That was that piece you just read is the, I mean, Spike Moss said the same. I mean, it was almost like he read that passage that you just read.
Right.
Spike Moss was so animated. I mean, it's so passionate in his plea to the kids for them to understand that all this stuff has to do with this Willie Lynch syndrome. That he spoke real, you know, he talked real profoundly about that Willie Lynch syndrome, and he wanted to lay up here and express to the kids the relevancy of how that's affecting us now.
Well, one of the things, you have to go back to the history of 3/5 of a man and a woman is what they said that black men and women were. In 1440, most people who became slaves was a result of war. Two societies went to war, and the winner enslaved the loser. That was in 1440. The first slaves arrived in America from Africa in the 1500s, and the transatlantic slave trade was made illegal in the United States in 1807, but it continued in other parts of America till 1870. So even though they made stuff illegal, they were still able to transport us and make us slaves as long as they were making money. That was 430 years. That's a reasonable estimate of the figure between 20 and 30 million Africans that were brought to America and made slaves. At the same time, they were killing off the Native Americans at that same time, in the millions, to take their land away. And so that land belongs to them. So when they talk about discovered America, how do you discover something that already belongs to somebody? So when you talk about the slavery stuff too, the light skin and black skin, you're a dark-skinned brother. I was just thinking about you the other day because I was reading here where a dark-skinned kid went to a light-skinned teacher and said, my mother would be proud if I brought home a woman like you. And she said, why? She said, don't bring nobody no home blacker than you are, because I don't want you making babies black like us. So in other words, she was not proud of what she looked like, and she made sure her son married somebody lighter than her to make her proud. But why not be proud of your blackness? Why not be proud of your beauty? And so to say that, I thought about you because I thought about probably as a kid the stuff that you had to go through as a dark-skinned kid, you know, because people light-skinned, people looked at you one way, you know, other white folks looked at you one way. You know, it was just stuff that you had to go through. Never heard really you talk about any stories, but I'm sure you've got some. But I'm just saying that's the way we look at each other, the house Negro and the field Negro kind of mentality. The brothers in the suites in the corporate office and the brothers on the corner, they don't come together. I was out on the streets and bringing people out to that kind of stuff, and they're like, yeah, it's kind of dangerous, man. I said, but these are our people, and we must come to them. No matter where you work, whether it's for General Mills, Pillsbury, or whether you work for AT&T or U.S. West, you still need to hit the block every now and see what your people are doing and check in with them. And I'm so proud that we do that, and it's important that we do that. Correct?
Yeah, it is correct. Because, like what you said, you know, the separatism that the street has with our affluent brothers, you know, and I mean by affluent brother, I mean like, you know, like just like the characters down at JOC.
Yep.
You know, those are brothers and stuff, you know, that they educated, they then went to school, and they graduated from college and stuff. They chose the communication field to live in and be their careers. But still, there's an enviness amongst those that on the street and those who are out there serving a purpose in our community, you know, doing something positive. Even though those kids are like, what's his name, Big Bell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the light-skinned brother, what's his name, the bald-headed one, they always be with us when we going out there on the street.
Okay.
You know, them brothers there, man. But they still have a edge of that they got to protect themselves when they're amongst their own people because of the jealousy level of those who are out on the streets, steadily up here, not making a difference in the community, but being the part of the social disorders that we defend against. You know, they have a negative relationship with those brothers because they feel those brothers are sold out. And then, you know, and you ask them, sold out to what? I mean, these men are being productive members in our community, providing a vital service to our communities and stuff. What do you think they've been sold out to?
Well, we're going to go right to our caller. We're going to find out what this caller thinks about. Your number is 4331. Caller, how you doing?
How y'all doing today, sir? I came in. I just, man, I was a little late on the conversation. I just got a little bit of the last bit. How y'all doing today, sir?
How you doing, short body?
Hey, short body, do you know we made it on Rush It or Flush It with the theme song for Mad Dad? Did you hear?
No, I didn't hear about it, man. Nobody informed me.
Well, he said you'd hear about it if it happened. We'll just have to call Chris Stout, KMOJ, and find out. You know, we're doing an update. Gil did that already about the meeting on Saturday. Why don't you talk about some highlights, some things that motivated you and encouraged you? We were talking about slavery and some things. I'll get back to that. Before you speak, I want to say this. You've heard of the thing called the IQ test, right?
Yeah.
Well, the IQ test was something that was done by the founding father. His name was Luminous Blumenbach, and he founded the IQ test. But the problem with the IQ test, it doesn't seriously measure the intelligence of a man. It is set up so that if you are Caucasian, that you will score high. And so, therefore, the IQ test is worthless. It really is. So if somebody ever gives you an IQ test or brags about their IQ test, let them know that it is a test that has been measured against for decades, and it's not a true measurement for the intelligence of a man. But what I want you to talk about is your thoughts and reflections on the 9-1-1 event and how you felt it turned out.
But I mean, I feel like it was a real great experience, man. When you got black men coming together doing something positive, period, it was a great experience. No matter even with the differences, I still think that everybody still came to show love and respect to each other's manhood. So, I mean, it was godly for me. No matter what negative things that did came, what little negative came out, more positive came out of that for me. So. I mean, I show much love and respect to everybody who went in for the neighborhoods, man. Everybody.
Well, that's good, Sharp Buddy. Now, tell me a little bit about, you put something on Facebook. You were on TV. Tell me about this TV program you did that you put on Facebook. It was a documentary. Tell me a little bit about that.
Right. Okay. What that was I shot that documentary out in California. I had some Minnesota footage in it, and I had my man Jerome Faulkner, he was interviewing me for the book because there was just a lot of misunderstanding about what's going on with this Thug Bible. It's not a political book, it's not a religious book, it's about the people. And I feel like the book is dedicated to people who actually want to save each other. It's about showing love to ghetto soldiers, and we've been misrepresented through all these religions, politicians. We are, you know, everybody's arguing up top, and they're not focusing on trying to save us. You know what I mean? So it's like the book is just showing, it's a reflection of everybody showing love to what we're trying to do for our people instead of like having division that I have seen within our leadership. They keep on saying, you know, one thing that I did see was a lot of people talking about a lot of negative amongst other leaders instead of you know the coming to agreements with other leaders and stuff right there. That's the only thing I see, you know, I see dividing us for us from the bottom to the top, because if we see them argue at the top, the guys who call themselves trying to save our neighborhoods and community, if they're up there arguing, then they're not going to do us no good if we're at the bottom seeing that, you know what I mean? How are we going to stop the killing if the people at the top still arguing on how to get us, how to save us? I feel like they just need to throw all the differences in the garbage and put all our agreements together and build a solution. You know what I mean? So that's what the Thug Bible is about, basically. Because I've been saying, like, Fred Hampton Jr., they've been they've been going to get into it with Walter Gator Bradley, and you know what I mean? I hear a lot of rumors about a lot of other organizations get into it with this organization because they're doing something, and that's what they're focusing their problems on, and that's not what the Thug Bible is about. It's, like I said, it's called a Thug Bible because we on the streets selling books and CDs. We actually out there doing that, and this is what that interview is about. Showing people, we out there selling books and CDs blatantly. You know, I got a team of street guys, I said, across the country, Bloods, Crips, Vice Lords, whatever you want to call yourself, trying to show love to the community and put forth some positive. That's why it's called Thug Bible in the first place. And a lot of people don't want to see that. You know what I mean? But it's about non-dividing people, man. They divide, they're dividing our people no matter how. You know what I mean? It was cool, like they tried to say it was cool for Malcolm X and Martin Luther King to disagree. But that's the same. It ain't cool because of the fact that that's the reason we're in this position right now, because we thought it was cool, but they had to come together and build. It's about building together right now, man. It's about building, period. If you ain't trying to build with your community and save your people, then we don't need to be talking about that. Stop doubting the next man's help, you know what I mean? If you're helping in this section, let them play a position. It's about playing a position.
Hey, you're absolutely right, Short Body. And I just want you to keep doing what you're doing. Keep, you know, as far as marketing and your concept, you know, that book needs to be something that kids should, you know, that kids should understand. We got to keep mentioning about the Thug Bible, helping them understand that, look, it's something for you to read that will help guide you through life. It's something for you to read to help motivate you through life. It's something that you have devised as a young man to say, look, I'm using a tool that I think will impact young people. I'm trying to break out of this slavery, because, see, gangs is a form of slavery to me. It's a form of death and destruction, and is killing our young people. They are dying on a daily basis based upon something that somebody said you should be or you should do that is destroying lives of our young people.
Yeah, it's like right now they try to make it. They try to make my book negative because it tells you bluntly what the mind frame of a ghetto soldier growing up in the ghettos. That's what my book does. It does not deframe us. It tells you the reasons we make the mistakes we make, the choices, the reasons we make the choices we make, the reasons why we go against the men that try to help us before we take their hand and let them walk us through the path to lightness. You know what I'm saying? That's what the Thug Bible is. It's a door opener. It's to let them read themselves. Look at yourself in the mirror. It's a look at yourself in the mirror book. It's something for you. For when they see that book, they say, man, this is my conclusion. After I make this bad decision, this is what's going to happen to me. You can go this route or that route. This is what that book's about. It walks you through the mind frame and the manhood of how we came upon of as a ghetto soldier, period. You know, that's why people they see the cuss words in it. They see misspelled words in it. I keep telling them, misspelled words in it to show these people I got a GED and I wrote a book. It's to show them you ain't got to be perfect to accomplish your goals. You got to have belief in your talents. It's about believing your God get the talents. That's how I wrote that book. With God get the, I believed in my talents, and I took them to the. I didn't let nobody tell me I couldn't do it, no matter what. I taught myself how to self-publish my book. I taught myself how to write a 38-page business plan with the help of other people. Don't get it twisted. I had to have help, but I had to look for the engine to help me build this thing. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm not rich right now, because I didn't sell my soul to these people, man. You got to know what you're getting into before you get into it.
You know, the biggest thing is that you saved yourself from going to prison. You saved yourself from getting shot by a rival gang member. You saved yourself from being a fatherless father to your kids, because daddy will live to see another day. You saved yourself. We have the largest penal institution in the world. There are more people in prison in America than anywhere else in the world. And what you said is that, yeah, I believe in the streets just like Mad Dads does. But we're going to go back to the streets and give something positive and bring something positive. That's why I enjoy you being a part of what we do. I enjoy you communicating with us. I enjoy you being part of our show, because I want to lift up our youth, man. So many of our youth are confused and lost, but I want to lift you up and make you a part of what we're doing. Because so you got to understand something. Me and Gil, we'll be long gone, brother, and you'll still be holding this thing up. And we want to pour something into you that's going to allow you to be focused and on how to take it to the next level. Right, Gil?
Amen. Amen. Like
Amen.
I said, I really appreciate you showing up Saturday. I think, man, you know that you are a heartbeat on the street. And I think, man, you're saying, you know, that you are a reflection of what you speak about. I think the Thug Bible, man, is something that's that's I'm not going to say it's a before its time. It's a book coming out that's right on time. It's a book that should be placed in every school, in every social center that we have where black youth gather. You know, because like you said, you know, it's not a book that's about the articulation and stuff you're saying about deep philosophical stuff like that there, man. You're saying it's a book about reality, man. It's a book written in the sincerity in which it was brought, in which it was presented. Yes. Presented for those who have awareness of what they're looking for but don't have the answers that they're seeking. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I think you beautifully brought out, man, your personal experiences and stuff in order to let people bring about an understanding with these kids that, hey, man, you can be with flaws, but you don't have to remain with those flaws, you know? And
that's
you know, that the communication system, the television, the broadcasting, and the radios, and all these other different forms of communication, man, do us wrong, as you say, ghetto soldiers, man, because they don't want this opposite to come out. You know what I'm saying? You ain't talking about bitches and hoes and dope and all this other stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about the survival issue that you need to lay up here and reach this other stage of your consciousness. And I applaud you for that, man.
Thank you, sir. God bless, man. Walking with God. Walking with God. Putting him first, man. I didn't put him first before, man. I had to walk with God and realize God had me. No matter what man may listen, tell me which way to go, man, I had to know God got me, you know. And I praise every religion that's trying to do righteous by their people. You know what I mean? And
amen.
That's what it's about.
You know, when I think about you, man, I think about what they call the MAFA, M-A-A-F-A, and it's that transatlantic slave trade that I referred to, where 18 inches between every man and woman for 3 months that had to ride on a ship from Africa to America, 18 inches where they urinated on each other, had birth, had their periods, vomited, died, and everything for 3 months on a ship. And you came out of that. Your ancestors came out of that. You came out of that. And in the Holocaust, in the 1930s and 40s, there was still not even as many people killed as there were from the slave ships. And nobody's saying anything. Almost 400 years later, we're not talking about the Black Holocaust, but we're talking about the Jewish Holocaust. We talk about Russians.
Japanese.
We talk about the Japanese. We talk about what happened with the Somalians. And nobody's still talking about our Holocaust. We don't have a Holocaust center. We don't have anything that recognizes what has happened to us. Matter of fact, we have been told, Sharp Body, why don't we forget about it? Why don't we stop talking about it? Why don't we just move on? Folks will tell us that I ain't got no slaves, so why y'all talking to me? But the fact is that it's still in your blood, and when I come into your stores, and when Sharp Body comes around, you get nervous, and when Sharp Body bring his homies around, which is trying to do music, you think they trying to steal or grab your woman or do something negative, and we trying to let you know there's some black men and women out here that are doing positive things. Matter of fact, the United Nations said at the World Conference in 2001 that they declared they want to declare a crime against humanity, and the United States walked out on that conference with the United Nations because they did not want to recognize that acknowledgement. But did you ever hear about that? The answer is no, because you'll never hear about that, because it's not designed for us to hear about the things that benefit us as a community.
Right. And then one thing I want to say, add on to that, VJ, one thing that I did not like about the thing was there was a lot of guys out there that called themselves in gangs and stuff like that, that called themselves representing other organizations that was supposed to be there, that was getting misled. That if we had told everybody we're going to get everybody 2 pounds of cocaine or two pounds of crack to come to this meeting, everybody, it would have been a whole lot of gangbangers in our meeting. You know what I mean? But by us being some pot, bring some pots to the table, we got about 50 of them. So, you know, we brought the real ones to the table, man. That's what I seen. I think the real ones come to the table who trying to do something because, like I said, man, I could have called the game meeting, told everybody off, and they give y'all 10 keys apiece if y'all come to this game meeting. You know what I'm saying? 10 kilos, and everybody would have ran to it. That's what a gangbanger is right there. That's how you can fill out those snitches and call themselves so-called gangbangers. I keep telling people, a snitch is somebody who commits a crime themselves and then tell somebody else who committed a crime because they got caught. A snitch ain't somebody who telling on you for messing up their community, homie. That's not no snitch, homie. You know what I'm saying? That's not a snitch. We never call them snitches. If you helping your community out, if you tell somebody for doing some dirt in your community, that's not a snitch. We don't help that same person who helping you. I'm gonna be a snitch too then. Because if you messing up my community, I'm going to tell on you. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to be out there messing up my community, and then when I get caught, tell on you for messing up my community. That's a snitch. You see what I'm saying? A lot of people don't understand that phrase, man. It's a difference. If you're going to be that, be that. If you're going to do this, do that. It's a this or that situation when it comes to being a snitch, man. I'm going to tell on you, though. You better not be out there doing no crime. I'm going to tell on you. And I'm taking care of my community, fam.
Hey, Joe, buddy, there's another thing that you said that I really enjoyed about that meeting is that I think that Gator Wallace did address that, you know? That when he was talking about the tax on the elderly and on our females,
right?
And I think that, like you said, that the meeting attracted the real gangsters. You know what I'm saying? Those who were trying to put something else in their repertoire in order to lay up here, bring about some form of social control amongst their peers. You know, and the ones that didn't come. I think those are the ones that are stuck off into that box. You know, you've been in the game, I've been in the game, VJ been in the game, and we know how hard it is to make that transition. You know, you live a lie so long, and you accept that lie. You know, you build yourself a persona, and when you live here and you drop all those pretentious ideas and those pretentious personas, man. You find yourself empty and void of personality. You know what I'm saying?
I keep telling them, Gil, we been scared.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I've been scared. A scared man gonna live faster than that brave man, I promise you, man. I'm in these streets. I've been scared. I ain't worried about that right now. I'm gonna die for this here. I was gonna die for that road thing, man. I'm down 110% for this real, man. I can't see it no other way, Gil. Can't see it no other way, man.
That's right. And I mean, you know, like I said, man, you know, is that, you know, we have to come to a realization, man, that we are the ones, me and you and BJ, man, and Jack and John and Minister McAfee, we're the ones that laid up here and created those conditions that are on the streets right now. You know what I'm saying? We're the ones that laid down the pattern for these kids to emulate. You know what I'm saying? So who's better? Than some politicians that's sitting up there have never walked these streets, have never experienced these things that we've experienced. We're the ones that have to stay up here and bring the enlightenment. Like you say, we got to be the light carriers. We got to be the ones that's going to be able to be strong enough to withstand the verbal assaults and the physical confrontation that we're going to have, man, to address this, to turn this here a mindset around, because that's what it is, like a mindset. You know, like next year, we know it's going to be another fashion statement next year. Somebody, maybe they'll start wearing gym shoes, different colors or something like that there, and everybody going to grab for that. See, we got to be that same type of determination that the fashion industry and that the commercialism have on our kids. You know what I'm saying? We got to be... That them lines strong enough to lay up here, man, and be able to fight back. Because I'm not going to back down to you when you wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm going to lay up here.
Man.
I'm not going to battle you. You know, we're going to have to be the ones to come out there, man, and let them know, man. Say, hey, we're going to get butt naked with you.
Hey, let me just tell everybody, you listen to Mad Dad's Radio. We got Sharp Body on the phone. Our number, our call-in number is... our call-in number is 213. No, I'm sorry.
No, 1347. That's our call-in number.
What is
y'all.
It? What is it?
1347.
Well, you gotta get the area code.
Oh, the area code. I mean, this is ain't no area code.
Just
dial
area code.
No, just dial one He just came from all his sun, man. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta call,
he's in Miami with all
call,
that heat and stuff.
Yeah, you got to call 347-215-9262. That's 347-215-9262. Don't listen to Gil. You know he's crazy. So, everybody, we're going to be right back with you. We got another caller in, and you're on 5270. Thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio, 5270. 5270, we got you live. Are you there? Are you there? Well, we're gonna
you're
push
just
you.
One of those listeners,
yeah,
huh?
You're just a listener. Thank you. Don't push one next time. Keep listening. I want to read something, and then I want to get a response from you and Short Buddy. I want to read. It's called Strange Fruit.
Strange? Ooh.
Southern trees bear strange fruit.
Amen.
Bloods on the leaves and bloods on the roof. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the popular trees. Pastoral scene of the gallant south. The bulging eyes and the twisted mouth. Scent of magnolias sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is fruit from the crows to pluck. From the rain to gather. For the wind to suck. From the sun to root. For the trees to drop, here is a strange, strange fruit and its bitter crop. That's about a lynching. Well, Gil, I want to know what you think about that, and I want to hear what Shawbody's got to think about that, called Strange Fruit, written by some folks that see black men lynched.
Yeah. You know, and VJ, you know, sometimes it's so emotional that the things that we have to let here and bring up, you know, because we want our listening our viewers to understand that this is a movement. This is a movement of consciousness, of shifting from a negative to a positive. And in that positive, it's a whole lot of bitter struggle and bitter fruits that you're going to have to lay up here and swallow. It's going to a lot of things that you're going to have to absorb mentally that you might not be able to understand morally. And, you know, as blacks, you know, this country has spent millions and trillions of dollars to tear down our society, to tear down our imagery, to tear down our global projection, to tear down the relationship that we have with our children, to tear down our black structure that people, that the Bible teaches us that we have to pray in all the supplications of the saints, of all those people that came before we did, you know, and the things that they did. And that poem there, it convicts me again about the things that I've done to bring about a Holocaust in my community, the things that I've done to hurt my community, the things that I've done to just stop the advancement and the growth and development of my community. Because now I watched the documentary where the Ku Klux Klan sat there and they said that we don't got to kill niggas no more. They're doing a better job than we ever could have done. And that affected me. I wasn't appalled by what he said. I was uplifted by what he said because it brought me to a greater clarity to understand that, hey, it's my time to get up. It's my time to stop laying up here complaining about it, but starting to be about it, start being the message that I want to lay up here and present to my community. And that poem he just read, and as gruesome as it is, it's the things that we need to lay up here and re-educate ourselves to. These are the things that stop all this gangster rap that we're talking about. I'm talking about, man, saying the revolutionary that's going off into the hip-hop community now. Hip-hop is the one that brought us off into focus. Now hip-hop is going to bring us back into reality. Because people are starting to understand and stuff, you know what I'm saying, what the real significance and what the real psychological projection that they're talking about, the lynching of black men.
You know, I just want to share, I'm going to ask Sharp Body what he thought about that what I read, which was actually written by Lewis Allen and Billie Holiday. What do you think about this, Sharp Body?
Man, that was like, okay, I seen so much in that, it was like, wow, I was just seeing fascist. But it kind of reminded me of like the tree of life they were talking about, man, you know, from the root to the fruit, you know what I mean? Because that's like, I seen like the children of the ghetto as being the fruit that was falling from that tree because of lack of nourishment. You know what I mean? And we was all came going from that same tree. You know what I mean? So it's like by starting from the root to the fruit, and by being not getting as much water as the rest of the tree, we fall from it. And then when we fall from that tree, and now we end up in the ghetto, we're at the bottom where we are. You know what I mean? Now it's like us trying to get that nourishment back. You know, as a people. So I seen, like, you know what I mean? I seen, like, a whole nation, like, that was, like, a powerful poem, man. Kind of touched me a little bit because, like, I seen the tree of life. I seen, like, it wasn't even just black people at the bottom of that tree. It was like a seed. Like, I mean, everybody was down there, and they was growing off of it. But, like I said, the lack of nerds, the ones who didn't get that water, as much water as everybody else, just fell off, man. They fell off that tree. And I see my people as them people who fell off that tree. And now it's time for us to nourish them with that water. We got to put that water on top of them, fam. And this is what it is, fighting with this knowledge we're putting on them, DJ. That's what I've seen out there, man.
The book Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome by Dr. Joy DeGray Leary is an excellent book. And in that book, she writes this. While black men made up the majority of those lynched, as mentioned earlier, black women did not escape this form of execution. And in 1918, listen to this, not too long ago, in 1918, a pregnant black woman named Mary Turner was hanged, covered with oil and gasoline, and burnt. And as she dangled from the rope, a man stepped up with a pocket knife and ripped open her abdomen in a crude way operation. Out tumbled the baby, and that man took his foot. When the baby started crying and smashed the baby in 1918, that wasn't that long ago.
Amen.
And that's how they treated our sisters. And you know, in so many ways, we have to understand, man, that's why the revolution is not over yet. That's why we have to get together with good white folks and good black folks and work together, man. And so those that want to work for negativity, fine. Those that feel like, look, man, I got a house on a hill, I got a Benz, I got everything I need, dog, y'all leave me alone. Ain't no slavery here. No, it's not over. If somebody down here on the streets, brother, needs a Thug Bible, and I tell you what, when Sharp Body, I know this for a fact, if you sold 2 million Thug Bibles, you still going to hit the block, just like everybody else.
Right.
I don't care what
happens
to Mad Dads, we still going to hit the block because that's where we came from. And even when
that's
the rest of them Negroes want to say, y'all ain't doing nothing, we still going to do something. We still going to be at the hospitals and the jails reaching out. While everybody else is trying to complain about this and that, we're going to take our energy and time and get back to the community.
That's it. That's God bless you, man. I'm telling you. Woo! That's what we talk about, the community, man. We ain't talking about everybody else and all this, what they talking about. They ain't talking about nothing, man. They ain't talking about nothing. They ain't talking about nothing.
Again, we want to remind you that we have a meeting, a support group, here at 4th Avenue South.
Today,
which is today.
5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock.
We're going to have some food.
We're going to cook. Good food.
Mom and them going to hook it up. You know, Sharp Body come through every now and then. If he keep coming through, he won't be Sharp Body. He'll be Big Body.
He'll be Big Body.
Thank y'all, sir. You know I'm going to keep that. I'm always there.
Amen.
I'm coming, baby. So.
All right.
Y'all